Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. This program is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Your host is Pastor Jack Schumann, pastor of the Emmanuel Free Reformed Church of Abbotsford, British Columbia. And now, here is Pastor Jack Schumann.
I invite you to turn with me again to the Gospel of Mark as we read chapter 6, the verses 30 to 34. Let us hear God's holy word. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. But the multitudes saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. May the Lord bless the reading and preaching of his holy word to our hearts. Dear friends, from time to time, and to one degree or another, we all need a time of rest. We need several rests during the day, especially if we are exerting ourselves physically. When we get older, we may even need to take a nap. But we especially need to rest at night. There's nothing that refreshes us more than a good night's sleep. But every now and again, it's good to take a longer rest. And that's because although God created us to work, he did not create us to work all the time. From time to time, he wants us to rest. And this is precisely why God rested on the seventh day. Not because he was tired, for God can never grow tired, but rather in order to set a pattern for man. And that's also why in the fourth commandment he said that man should labor for 6 days and rest on the seventh day. The point is, we were not created to work all the time, we were also created to rest. And Jesus knew this too. We read about that in the passage of Scripture that we have just read together from Mark 6. The disciples had just returned from their first preaching tour. They had been gone for a long time and had been very busy preaching the gospel and performing miracles by the power of Jesus. And when they returned to him, they were very tired, and Jesus knew this, and so he said to them, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." Jesus here invites his disciples to take some much-needed rest. And it's to that subject that we turn our attention today with the help of the Lord. My theme is an invitation to rest. And we'll consider three thoughts. First of all, the need for this rest. Secondly, the duration of this rest. And then thirdly, the fulfillment of this rest. The words of our text were spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ after the disciples returned from their first preaching tour. You may remember how back in verse 7 of this chapter, we read how Jesus called the disciples to himself and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. And he commanded them to take nothing for their journey except a staff. No bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. And when they were invited to someone's home, they were to stay there until they departed from there. And whoever would not receive them nor hear them, Jesus said, when they departed from there, they were to shake off the dust under their feet as a testimony against them. Well, this is exactly what the disciples did. And we read in verses 12 and 13, "So they went out and preached that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Well, now, several weeks, possibly even months later, the disciples had returned to the Lord Jesus, who was probably at this time in Capernaum in Galilee. And as Mark indicates, they told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. Well, upon hearing their report, Jesus invited the disciples to rest. We read in the words of our text, "Come aside," Jesus said, "by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." Now, why did Jesus say this? Well, Mark tells us in verse 31. He says, "Because there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat." Now, this is not the first time the disciples had been too busy to eat. In chapter 3, verse 20, we read that the crowds who came to see and hear Jesus were so large that they could not so much as eat bread, referring to Jesus and the disciples. And that's true here again. The disciples were so busy, and there were so many people coming and going that they did not have time to eat. Now, it goes without saying that was not a good situation. God made us material beings with material needs. If we do not eat regularly and properly and rest, we will get sick, and we may even die. What is more, since they were so busy, they likely did not have time to feed their own souls. And that, too, was not in their best interests. Those who proclaim the gospel must take time to feed their own souls. If they do not, they will starve both themselves and the people they are called to feed. And Jesus understood this. He understood the need for physical and spiritual refreshment. And so, out of love and compassion for his disciples, he invited them to take some rest. "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." Now notice what Jesus says here. First he says, "Come aside." Jesus knew that the only way the disciples could get the rest they needed was if they separated themselves physically from the crowds. And so he advised them to come away, to come aside, to a deserted place. And when they arrived there, he said, they were to rest. "Rest a while," he said. You see, separating themselves from the crowd was not enough. They also had to rest, but not for too long, for there was still much work to do. The fields were white with the harvest, and that's why Jesus added "a while." But now, what does this mean exactly? What exactly was Jesus proposing? Well, he certainly was not proposing that they take a vacation. The Bible knows nothing of vacations, at least not the way we understand them. The Bible assumes that we work every day and that we take one day off, and that is the Lord's day. Well, what then was Jesus proposing? Well, he was proposing that they get away from the crowds so that they might have time alone with him, time to learn, time to meditate, time to reflect, time to enjoy fellowship and communion, time to feed their soul, not as an end in itself, not in order to serve their own selfish ends or to gratify their own sinful lusts, but rather in order to equip them to get back to work with renewed energy and zeal. And that's exactly what they did. And we read in verse 32, "So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves." Now today our Lord comes to us and he invites us to do the same. Let me ask you, have you been so busy that you've not been looking after yourself properly? You've not been eating properly? You've not been getting enough sleep? You're mentally and physically exhausted from doing work in the church, looking after the children, working at your job, trying to provide for the family and making ends meet? Oh, listen to the Savior today. He comes to you and he says, come aside by yourself to a deserted place and rest a while. Take some time to seek my face in prayer, to meditate upon my word, to commune with other believers, to feed your soul. Not as an end in itself, but so that you might resume your task with renewed energy and zeal. Now, to be sure, this is not always easy. We have so many demands on our time. Even Sundays, which is supposed to be a day of rest, can be a busy day for us, often, sadly, due to our own doing. But if we care about our soul at all, we will make time. In fact, the more time we set aside for this, the stronger and healthier we will be, spiritually, mentally, and physically. Well, let's pay heed, therefore, to the words of our Lord. Let us, for a few minutes every day, and longer from time to time, go to a deserted place and commune with the Lord. This is especially timely for ministers like myself. Sometimes ministers think that rest means going away for a quick getaway, but taking along your laptop and your cell phone so that you can catch up on a few things. But dear brothers, that's not at all what it means. Rest means rest. It means leaving everything and everyone behind, including your laptop and your cell phone, and devoting yourself to seeking communion and fellowship with God. Now, that's not easy for some of us, I know. As ministers, we're called to feed our flocks. But listen, we can't feed our flocks unless we ourselves are feeding and are well rested. And so, fellow ministers, take the words of the Lord Jesus seriously. Come apart and rest a while. If you don't, you'll be of no use to anyone, either to your flock or to the Lord. And so our Lord's invitation to rest was sorely needed, but it was also very short-lived. That brings us to our second point. Upon our Lord's invitation, the disciples at a certain opportune moment got into a boat and set sail across the Sea of Galilee. And they sailed in the direction of Bethsaida, about 4 miles northeast of Capernaum by water. At long last, they were going to get the rest that they needed. Well, not long after they set sail, however, several people on the shore recognized Jesus. They saw him in the boat. And so, desirous to see him, they started after him on foot, following along the shoreline of the Sea of Galilee. Mark says that some of them even ran. Now in an instant, they were joined by many others. According to John's gospel, some gave chase in boats of their own. And so within a few minutes, thousands of people, both on land and on the sea, were making their way to Bethsaida, chasing after Jesus. Well, by the time Jesus arrived at Bethsaida, some of the crowd, probably the youngest and the swiftest, were already waiting for him. But from what we can glean from the other gospel accounts, Jesus paid them no attention, at least not at first. Instead, he proceeded up to the top of a mountain in order to be alone with his disciples. It seemed Jesus was determined to find the rest that he and the disciples needed. Well, with every passing minute, more and more people arrived, until literally thousands of people were gathered at the base of the mountain. And it appeared to Jesus and the disciples that they would not get any rest at all. Well, notice how Jesus responded to this. We might have thought that he would get angry and shoo the multitudes away. After all, he and the disciples were exhausted and they needed a time of rest. But he did no such thing. In verse 34, Mark tells us that when Jesus came out, in other words, when he came out of his seclusion on the top of the mountain, and he saw the great multitude that had gathered there to see him, he was moved with compassion for them. Now, the Greek word here is the same word that Jesus uses in the parable of the prodigal son. You may remember how when the prodigal son came to himself, he resolved to go back to his father to confess his sins, and to ask him to make him as one of his hired servants. But while he was still a long way off, Jesus said, his father saw him and had compassion on him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The Father's heart was overflowing with love and pity for His Son. And that's exactly what Jesus experienced as He surveyed the crowd before Him. He was moved with compassion. Why was He so moved? Well, Mark tells us, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. Now, for sheep not to have a shepherd is a very serious matter. That's because sheep are defenseless creatures and very prone to wander. Without a shepherd, they will become lost. What is more, they will not find the green pastures and the quiet waters that they need in order to survive, and they may even become prey to wild animals. Well, that's what the multitude was like in our text. They were like sheep without a shepherd. Now, to be sure, there were those who purported to be their shepherds. They were the religious leaders of the Jews, the scribes and the Pharisees. But these were not shepherds at all. These men were hirelings. They were only interested in themselves, not in others, certainly not in the sheep. What is more, their only concern was to keep their legalistic traditions. And as such, they had nothing to offer for those who were spiritually hungry, who saw their need to be reconciled to God. And Jesus knew this, and so He was moved with compassion for them. Now, dear friends, Jesus still looks down like that on sinners today. Still today, as He looks down from heaven and surveys the masses of humanity who are not saved, and as He sees them try to satisfy their spiritual hunger in the world and with the things of the world, all to no avail, Jesus is moved with compassion. Why? Because He knows that the things of the world cannot satisfy, nor can it meet their greatest and most fundamental need. Only He can do that. And the problem is they don't know Him, nor do they want to know Him. They are like sheep without a shepherd, and that's why Jesus is moved with compassion. My friend, is that how we view the masses of humanity who are living without Christ today? As you know, we're living at a time of great crisis. COVID-19 virus is spreading across the world. Many are sick and dying. Many more have lost their jobs. Our economy has been devastated. Our world today is looking for answers. And so far, we've been looking to our governments and public health officials to give us these answers, but they can't. There's only one who can do so. There's only one who has all things under His control, including this virus, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And as He sits on His throne in heaven, He looks down upon our world with pity and compassion, for He sees that we are like sheep without a shepherd. Oh, what a great Savior we have in Jesus. There is no one more compassionate than Jesus. There is no one who cares more about sinners and their need than Jesus. And we see a beautiful example of that here. Well, as Jesus surveyed the multitude and as He felt compassion in His soul for them, what did He do? Mark tells us, verse 34, He began to teach them many things. Now, that's kind of striking, isn't it? First of all, remember that Jesus and His disciples were thoroughly exhausted. They had just returned from a preaching tour which took them up and down Palestine. They needed rest, and yet Jesus began to teach the people. What is more, He was probably still in mourning. Just prior to the events of our text, we read of the death of John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin and colleague and friend. From Matthew's gospel, we know that after the disciples of John buried the body of John, they went and told Jesus, and what a shock that must have been for him. And how pained he must have been to hear this. What grief must have gripped his heart and his soul. But notice that at no time did he give up doing what the Father had called him. He went right on doing what he had always done. He began to teach the people many things. Now we learn two lessons from this. We learn, first of all, that if we want sinners to come to Christ, we should not pressure them. Some churches do that. They hold what they call revival meetings, and they bring in all these people from the surrounding area, and they pressure them with passionate pleadings to put up their hand and make a decision for Jesus. Sometimes we can do something similar. A member of the congregation, for example, cannot say that he or she is a child of God. And what do? We put pressure on them to get converted. And to be sure, some pressure may be necessary. No one should ever feel comfortable not knowing if he or she is a child of God, or certainly not being in a converted state. But we should never pressure anyone into becoming converted. Jesus didn't do that either. He simply, patiently, lovingly taught the people the Word of God. We learn here, secondly, that those who are in ministry are never on vacation, nor do they ever really retire. The disciples had come to Bethsaida in order to get away from it all, so to speak. They wanted and needed some rest and relaxation. But what they got was more of what they were trying to escape: more crowds and more demands on their time. And in this way, Jesus taught his disciples that as ministers of the word, they were always on call, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days of the year, even when they are on so-called vacation. And in fact, so are all believers. Whenever there is a need, we should be ready and willing to meet it. No matter how tired and fed up we may be, no matter what circumstances we may find ourselves in, no matter how discouraged we may feel, like ministers, believers are always on call. Well, the rest to which our Lord invited the disciples was therefore short-lived, an hour or two on the boat, and probably less than an hour on the mountain. But my friends, one day they and all believers will enjoy a rest that will have no end. And that brings us to our third and final point. The rest that the disciples enjoyed, though it was very short-lived, is a foreshadowing of a much greater rest to come. The writer to the Hebrews speaks of this in Hebrews 3 and 4. In these chapters, the writer to the Hebrews gives an extended commentary on Psalm 95, the verses 7 through 11. And there the psalmist quotes God as exhorting his people not to rebel against him, as did their fathers in the wilderness, to whom he swore in his wrath that not a single person of that generation would enter into his rest, that is, the rest of Canaan. And the fact that God mentions the word rest in this psalm implies that there is such a rest, and that access to that rest is promised to all those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But what is this rest? Well, for the people of Israel, that rest was the land of Canaan. There they would rest from their enemies and the harsh environment of the desert. They would live in cities which they did not build, harvest crops from fields they did not sow, drink water from wells they did not dig. Everything would be provided for them, and they would continue to enjoy all of these things so long as they did not rebel against God. But did you know that the believer in Christ is also promised a rest? We receive a foretaste of that rest every Lord's Day. Every week, on the first day of the week, we may rest from our earthly labors and devote ourselves to recharging both physically and spiritually. And that's what the Lord's Day is for. Now, it is sad to say that our society today, for the most part, no longer observes the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day, for most, has become just like any other day. Stores are open. People work or spend the day doing chores, and that includes many professing Christians. For many professing Christians today, the Lord's Day has become the Lord's morning. We go to church, and then we spend the rest of the day for ourselves, doing what we want to do, rather than resting, which is what God wants us to do. 40 or 50 years ago, most churches had an evening worship service. But that, too, has largely gone by the wayside. Now, my friends, that is not God's plan for us. God wants us to come apart and to rest on the Lord's Day especially. And not just part of the Lord's Day, but all of it. The whole day should be spent resting from our physical labors and devoting ourselves to the worship of God and communing with Him. Oh, my friends, is that true of you today? Are you using the Sabbath day rest? Oh, remember that the Sabbath rest is a foreshadowing of a much greater rest to come. And that is the rest of heaven, to which the rest of the land of Canaan points and in which it finds its ultimate fulfillment. And there the people of God will find rest from sin, rest from temptation, rest from the attacks of the evil one, rest from earthly cares and concerns. They will dwell in safety and peace and live in fellowship and communion with God and with each other forever and ever and ever. That is the rest that is foreshadowed in our text. That is the rest that is promised to all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, do you long for that rest, child of God? Here in this life, the child of God finds very little rest, if any at all. There's always something that interrupts our rest. Another need, another situation that demands our attention in the church or in our families. But my friends, the day is coming when there will be no more interruptions. Then those who are in Christ shall rest in Him forever and ever. And that all the cares and concerns and all the busyness of this life will be a distant memory. And we shall sit at the marriage supper of the Lamb with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all of God's children from the beginning to the end of time. And we shall feast on His provision and bask in His love. And we shall finally be at rest, a rest that will never end. Amen. Dear friends, we always appreciate hearing from our listeners. If you were blessed by or have a comment on the message you have heard today, please take a moment and let us know, won't you? Our mailing address is Banner of Truth, 3386 Mount Lehman Road. And Lehman is spelled L-E-H-M-A-N, and that's in Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. Or you can give me a call at 778-982-9102. And please remember to include the call letters of this station. If you would like to listen to the message you've just heard again, or if you would like more information about our program, including how to contact us and how to listen to other messages on this program, please visit our website at Banner of Truth Radio. That's all one word, Banner of Truth Radio. com. Support for this program is provided by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. If you would like more information about these churches, including who we are and what we believe and where you can find a church nearest you, please visit our denominational website at www.frcna.org. Your financial support for this program is welcome and deeply appreciated. If the Lord has placed in your heart a desire to help us offset the costs of broadcasting this program on this station, you can send us a check in any amount. Again, our mailing address is 3386 Mount Lehman Road, Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. Or you can visit the donation section of our webpage. Thank you for listening, and now until next week, may the Lord be with you all.